I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Takes my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, only good music. Something about the things you say stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music, it should to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Fly. I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. With only good music.
I tell Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Kalorn strum up.
Good evening, good evening to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining us here on this, our second show of Friday Night Faith and Praise with my very special, wonderful, dynamic co-host and colleague, Tina Hobson. I am C. Maria Wall, and it is such a blessing to be here with each and every one of you this evening. Welcome to the callers who are joining us in the call query. As always, if you would like to be on air when we bring on tonight's special guest, Ms. Star Bobatoon, press the number 1 on your phone, and we will be sure to get you on air a little later on when we get the show going. So as always, Sister Tina, how are you this evening? Oh, you know what? I almost forgot. There she is. Sister Tina.
Here I am. You muted me, remember? Well, maybe
no, actually, you were still in the private chat. So I was like, wait, why isn't she talking? But
here
welcome
I am.
To everyone. Before we get started and bring on our special guest tonight, as I stated, our guest is Les Brown, platinum speaker, Miss Star Bobatoon. She has a wonderful story that she's going to share. But before we get started, first things first, this is the Friday Night Faith and Praise. So, Sister Tina, if you'd like to start us off with a prayer, feel free. My sister, we are ready.
I would be absolutely honored to open up praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing and thanking him for allowing us to be here tonight. Thanking you, Father God, for allowing our guest speaker, Ms. Star Bobatoon, to have arrived safely and soundly, Lord God, for allowing us to be here to hear the inspirational words that you have given to her to speak to us tonight, Father God. Father God, we just thank you for this day that you have given us, that you've allowed us to spread a little joy and laughter into the lives of someone who might not have gotten it anywhere else. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for the honor and the privilege to be before you tonight. We thank you for every single guest and caller who will be listening into this call tonight. We ask that they be blessed abundantly with the words and the inspiration that are being brought forth tonight. We thank you for just being who you are and whose we are. We just thank you again for all that you've done, all that you're going to do, and all that you're doing today. We thank you for allowing us to be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yes. So let me just talk a little bit about our guest this evening. You know, we've been saying that we have a Les Brown Platinum speaker, but you take away the Les Brown name and the branding and all of that, and we have a mother who loves her child unconditionally. So, you know, the continued theme with all of the Healing Through Hurt shows has always been real people, real stories, real hurt, and real healing. So on that note, let me read a short bio about our guest tonight. When her 5-year-old son was first diagnosed with Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, the first question Star Beaubertune asked was, "Why me?" Several years later, she discovered the answer to her question. As an attorney, speaker, and trainer, she could, from a place of experience and compassion, support, empower, and inspire other parents who have children with special needs. I Hate Muscular Dystrophy, Loving a Child with a Life-Altering Disease, is a product of Star's answer. It is an honest, though sometimes raw, story of how muscular dystrophy came into her family's life and how she learned to deal with the impact of the disease on a day-to-day basis. It's a practical handbook for anyone who loves a child with special needs, teaching the importance of dancing in the rain as a way of coping with and managing their lives while manifesting joy and happiness. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are welcoming Sister Star Beaubertune to the Friday Night Faith and Praise. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, both of you. I'm very pleasure to be here.
Oh, my goodness. Where does one begin? I guess our first question, you know, is why the title? Why the title that I hate, you know, the muscular dystrophy?
You know, people ask me that question all the time. I hate muscular dystrophy. They say, Star, you are such a positive you know, person. They say, Star, you are a motivational speaker. You teach people to see the bright side, to always look forward and not focus on the past and not focus on the negative, but focus on the positive. Why would you title your book, I Hate Muscular Dystrophy? And the reason, Maria, is because that's what I feel. Because that's the reality. I had a moment with my son where we discovered that we both hated muscular dystrophy. And the moment that we acknowledged it, the moment that we expressed it, it lightened the burden. And, you know, reading a book by Eckhart Tolle, he says that when we hold in negative emotions, when we suppress them, when we lie to ourselves about them, they don't go away. They don't just magically disappear. Those emotions stay inside of us, and they ferment, and they manifest in all sorts of ways, all sorts of diseases. You know, your hair's falling out, you can't sleep at night, you have arthritis, or you've got this illness or that ailment, and it's all because we are keeping that negative energy in our lives and in our spirits. And the better way is to just go ahead and express what you feel. It doesn't mean you wallow in it. You just express it so that you can move on. You know, there's a saying that what you resist persists. So stop resisting, and it will go away. That's why I chose this particular title, because it's exactly what I feel. And when I started speaking to other parents of children with muscular dystrophy and with other illnesses, when I made them say that out loud, oh, my God, the tears and the relief that they felt, because they could just say what they felt. Say what was really in their heart.
Wow. And I guess to piggyback on that same question, because when you said that, I love that what you resist will persist, and when you're talking to other parents, you know, how can a parent really acknowledge their child's disease and still be that loving parent? How, you know, I know that it's probably more to it than just acknowledging it. Is there a certain set of steps or, you know, something that parents have to go through? Can they really be a loving parent when they're hating what this disease has done and brought into their family?
That's such a good question. And it's a tough one, and I think that a lot of parents struggle with that question, and I certainly struggled with that question. You know, for 3 years after my son was diagnosed, I did not talk about it. I didn't talk to family. I didn't talk to friends, and I barely talked to my husband about it at the time, because I was so ashamed of that part of me that was so angry, you know, that was so disappointed, that was felt so negative. And so I kind of held that inside. But I got to tell you something. When I express my feelings, you know what? I think a better way, if you don't mind, could I share a little something from the book? Would that be all right?
Sure. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I think this will just explain it. Boy, if you don't settle down, I will pull this car over, I warned. It's about 12 p.m. on a sunny day in June 2006. I'm driving my children home to Virginia after a five-day visit with my mother in New York. My son, Hurricane, has been crying in the back seat of the car for the last 20 miles, and I have just about had it. Now, I assume he's upset with something that happened with his three-year-old sister also in the back seat, but he shakes his head when I ask if he wants to talk about it. Now, I have to admit, I'm not in the best of moods. I'm having trouble keeping my own emotions in check, and his incessant crying is both frustrating and heartbreaking. I just want him to stop. As the sobbing continues, I pull off the highway onto a parking lot in a small deli. I take a few deep breaths to calm myself.
Wow.
I pop in this Elmo CD and then to entertain my daughter, and then I help my son get out of the car, and I help him stand up, and I help him walk, and then I help him sit down again on the nearby curb. Now, watching my son struggle to accomplish such a basic task brings to mind the words Duchenne muscular dystrophy. DMD is a degenerative disease which causes the muscles of young boys to get weaker as they grow older instead of stronger. DMD is the disease affecting Hurricane. While my children were visiting my mother, my husband and I attended a national conference on DMD. I have spent the last 4 days having this disease and the devastating effects it will likely have on my son shoved down my throat in 45-minute increments throughout the course of each day. I went to the conference willingly. It was information I needed to know, but it was hard to swallow. Sitting beside Hurricane in silence, I rub his back and ask him, what was all that crying about? Apparently it bothered my son when his sister told him to be quiet while they were playing together. And he said when he tried to calm himself, he kept thinking about the bad thing. The bad things we've talked about before, I asked. He nods. The bad things we usually talk about revolve around DMD and how it confounds his every effort, desire, and dream. I usually tell him to concentrate on the good things in his life, but not today. Today, I confess, I can't stop thinking about the bad things either. They seem so big, so overwhelming. There's just no way to see around them. Hurricane quickly looks into my face, and I can tell he is surprised by the emotion in my voice. I don't hide my tears. I am sad and angry and hurt, just like he is. I am sad because of the frustration it causes my child when he can't keep up with the other kids his age. I am angry because of all this disease has taken away from him and all that is taken away from me, and I am hurt, because it's so unfair, so terribly unfair. I just don't understand why this is happening to him, to us. Hurricane and I embrace for a few moments, bonded in our grief, and then he screams. It's a deep, guttural kind of scream, without words or full vocalization. Startled and a little concerned, I ask, is there something in particular you want to scream? Some specific words that might express how you feel? He shrugs. I make a suggestion. I hate muscular dystrophy. The emotion seems to explode out of my son as he sobs heavily onto my chest, nodding his head. I hold him tight, tears rolling down my own face, and I tell him that I want to yell the same. I ask him if he wants to yell it right here in this parking lot, but he says no. He'd rather do it in his room when we get home. We make a date. In his room, with the doors and windows closed, on his bed, into his pillows, we will both scream, I hate muscular dystrophy. And the interesting thing about that scene, about that scenario, is that when we got home, we never did that. We never had to yell that. See, when I expressed my feelings, when he saw that I was hurt, that I hated this disease as much as he did, that was all he needed. All he needed to know was that Mommy didn't like it either. There was no doubt in his mind that I still loved him. And it brought us closer, you know, that we were on the same side of this disease. But as you can imagine, for a child, when something terrible like this is happening, and they're thinking, This sucks, and yet the parents and all of the grown-ups are saying, you know, hang in there, keep a good faith, keep your faith, keep smiling. They're saying all of this positive things, and the kid is saying, but this sucks. Someone, am I crazy that I think that this sucks and everybody else doesn't? And I'm sure that's what my son felt. And in that moment when I acknowledged that I hated it, I made it okay for him to have those feelings. So is it possible to hate the disease and yet still love the child? Absolutely. Yeah. They're two separate things. And I think that it's an honest feeling, you know. A lot of the parents in the groups that I am in, we have bad days, and we say it all the time, and we'll put it out on Facebook. I hate DMD today. Today's a bad DMD day. And you'll have 142 people saying, yes, I know what that's about. But we still love our children.
Wow.
Absolutely. Star, thank you so much for sharing that part of your book with us, and I'm sure that everyone on this call felt it. I know I did. Thank you so much. You know, I've heard so many times, I've got a two-fold statement and a question here, but I've heard so many times in different situations where parents, and especially when there's time of loss and grief, someone has lost a loved one. Oh, be strong. You got to be strong for them. You know, in other words, telling you to suck it up for the appearance of someone else. How do you feel about that statement, Star?
Well, I understand where people are coming from. And there is, there's some logic to that thought. But most of the time when people want you to be strong is because they can't stand to see you fall apart. It's not really for the injured person or for the hurting person. It's mostly for the other person who feels uncomfortable with your emotion.
Yeah.
You know, we're constantly saying, don't cry. Don't, you know what? Let me cry.
Yeah.
You've all experienced this, right? Where you're feeling something and someone says, oh, Tina, don't feel that way. I'm sorry. What right do you have to tell me how to feel? You are not inside my heart or my brain. You cannot tell me how to feel. Please do not shut down my emotions. If you want to be a friend, my feeling is let that person feel what they feel.
Right.
Give them an opportunity. Because a lot of times, if I can just have a little time to just scream and cry and stomp my feet and be upset and be angry, I can get over it. But if I'm constantly stuffing it down my throat, I'm constantly holding on, well, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm holding on. So
absolutely.
I think that we should all learn something from, and it's not what we're taught. But when a person is going through a hard time, let them have their moment. You know, be there as support, but don't shut them down.
Right. Well, I think I've found that most people, and this is not intentional to hurt anyone, but they don't want to feel either. So if you don't feel, I don't have to feel. That's a scary thing. That's
mm-hmm.
real scary.
Right.
You know, they'll pat you on the back, oh, it's going to be all right, or hand you a tissue. And being a counselor mm-hmm. and a coach, I found that, you know, that the symbolism of that tissue
mm-hmm.
Is not to wipe your tears. It's to, would you please be quiet? You know.
Would you please cut it out?
That's it.
Right. Stop, because I'm starting to feel, too, and it's not comfortable for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in sessions, groups, I don't hand anybody a tissue. Don't pat them on the back. Don't tell them, here, dear, it's going to be okay. Let them feel what they need to feel, because you need to feel what you need to feel. And everybody needs to know that we're human. You know, we're not really superwomen. We are human women with emotions, human people with emotions. And I like that aspect that you talked about, Star. Tell me this. What has been the most challenging aspect of having a child with a life-changing, life-altering illness?
I think the greatest challenge is to remember to focus on joy. Because there are so many times and so many moments where it's hard work, where it drains you, where you're tired, where, you know what, I don't want to do this. And to watch my child struggle, you know, to watch him not be able to do things, to watch him want and yearn, oh, my gosh, that is so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable. As a mother, as a parent, we want our children to be happy always, and that's an order. But it doesn't work that way, you know, and it hurts us when we can't fix the boo-boo. And with a life-altering disease, that's a big boo-boo we can't fix. It's a big thing I can't fix, and it's that's the part that's very frustrating. Knowing that and being there and at the same time trying to focus on the joy.
Thank you.
I mean, my intention, my desire is to make my son laugh so hard he cries.
Oh.
That's my purpose. I want him to laugh until it hurts. Yes, I'm trying to hurt my child.
Okay.
I want him to laugh so much that he says, Mommy, stop it.
Okay, what are some of the things that makes them laugh?
Oh, you know, when I tell my stupid, corny jokes, you know, it makes them laugh. I have corny mommy jokes, things that I think are funny. You know, he hates it when I pull my pants way up to my waist. You know, that makes me crazy.
And, that would make me laugh, so, too.
And so I do it just because when he was smaller and he was still walking, but he would fall all the time, and I knew it was upsetting him, I would always say, when I'd have to help him up, I'd say, now, don't laugh, King. Don't laugh, because if you laugh, Mommy can't pick you up. Well, come on. You tell a 7-year-old, don't laugh, what's going to happen? They're going to laugh. So things like this. But now that he's 17, you know, it's a different boy. He's a different guy, but I still do my, you know, I can't tickle him like I used to. That would definitely make him laugh. So it's got to be more intellectual humor. He's a great boy. That's what I love to do. I just want him to laugh.
Okay, thank you.
You know, let me interject for a moment and just ask you this. Matter of fact, we do have a caller waiting who would like to be on air. It's an unidentifiable number, but caller. Let's just take a call right now before we continue with some of our questions. Let's see. Hello, caller.
Hi, Maria.
Yes.
This is Esther Hunter. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Friday Night Faith and Praise. Do you have a question or comment for Star this evening?
I do. I just wanted to say to let her know I appreciate her so much for being so transparent and talking about the pain that she felt and all of the experience that she's walked through with her son, because I think a lot of times when people are going through painful situations, it's like you know, everybody wants you to cover up the fact that you've been hurt,
mm-hmm.
or that you're going
mm-hmm.
through something difficult. And so I appreciate her transparency, and that I wanted to make concerning it. And that was, you know, one of the things that I have found the most comfort in difficult situations is Psalms 23, where he says he restores my soul. One translation says he restores myself. And so when you all were talking about, you know, really getting the opportunity to express the hurt and saying that you're hurting, I think that is so powerful, because a lot of times people don't take into account that healing is a process. And that's why I just love the title of your program, Healing Through Hurt, because healing is a process and restoration is a process. So I just wanted to tell your guest tonight, I appreciate her for just being transparent and really, really sharing her heart.
Thank you.
I thank you so much for that. That's exactly what I was aiming for, to be as transparent as possible, because I know that there are a lot of people who feel what I feel and don't have the courage or the platform in which to share.
Yes.
And I want to add something to what Esther had brought up, Star. It's the fact that, and I think that this may apply to several different types of situations. Did you come across a lot of, I know we touched on it a bit, but like you said, this was just life-altering all the way around. Did you come across a lot of adversity where people, like Sister Tina had said earlier, suck it up, be quiet about it, deal with it? Were there people close to you? Let's put it this way, not just strangers, but people that people who are close to you that just wanted you to be silent about it and deal with it.
Now, why are you trying to dig so deep? Why are you're cutting close to the bone, my friend?
Ooh.
Cutting close to the bone. I think that my mother had a really hard time with the diagnosis. I think she did. My mother has been my rock. She's been my support, always there for me. But when my son was diagnosed, it's like she was a different person. And she was not the comfort that I expected her to be, you know, and her, you know, just some of her responses were, in my mind, very cold and unfeeling, and it seemed like she wanted me to hush, you know, and maybe she wanted me to not hurt, because like I said before, when your child hurts and you can't do anything about it, it's very frustrating. So perhaps that's what she was going through. But, yeah, at the time of the diagnosis, that was, I think, that was kind of a very painful time for me because I just expected her, to be there. And we got to the point where my husband and I asked her to just leave us alone, to just leave us alone. You know, so I think you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, and for a while she was not part of the solution. And so that was really hard. We've come past that at this point.
Right.
And she's definitely very, very supportive. And, you know, my son had, he had spinal fusion surgery a few years back. And, you know, I told my mom and my brother what was going on with everything, with my son, and we were just going to do it. And the day before the surgery, my mother showed up at my house. And it's like I didn't ask her to come. And she said, you don't have to ask me. But I was so glad that she was there, you know, and I didn't even know that I needed her there, but she knew. You know, that's the mother that I'm accustomed to. You know what I mean? So I think that it was just a hard time for her, getting her own bearings on that.
Right.
So we're good now.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said we're good now.
Great.
So that's bringing me to my next question. So there is a way for parents and the family members and people closest to you to find that happy place again, to find their happiness again.
You can if you let people be who they are, you know? I mean, and I can't, I mean, right now I can stand here and say, perhaps my mother was going through something of her own. I can say that now, 10 years later, but at the time, I was pissed off. At the time, I was not so understanding. This was my crisis, and everyone should respond the way I think they should respond, because this is my crisis, and that's how we always feel. You should. They should. That person should. They should know. They should act this way, and we should all over people. That is what we do. We expect people to react the way we want them to react, as opposed to letting them be themselves. So if your mother is not acting the way you wish she would, she's going through something on her own. Let her be who she is. You might have to have some space, but let's not be mad at them for not acting the way we want them to act. You don't know how you're going to behave. You know, you don't know how you're going to behave in an emergency, in a crisis, in a life-altering situation. There's no, like, you know, check a box before you get married. How are you going to respond? You don't know. And so we can't expect people to react the way we react. We're all different, and if we could let people be, and hold out forgiveness instead of grudges, I think we can move past it.
Wow, that's a great response because
yeah,
you know, I just like I said, that could apply to so many because I know that I had gone through it, and you know, faced the adversity. You know, it was a question of why. Why do you feel a need to share this? Why do you feel a need to put the business out there. You know, I think that some of it is generational, where some people just, you know, we've been taught that you keep things in the house. You close the curtains. You know, you put the windows down. The secrets stay within the home. You don't let your business out in the street. But when it's something that's so altering, and as you said, it could be the fact that your mom was going through something at the same time, but, you know, we have to understand that we can't expect people to respond or react the way that we want them to, as well as, you know, them. Just let them be who they are and figure out a way to get past it, whatever that way is. You know, we can. It has to be a way to figure out, you know, to get past it so that we can move forward, or else we'll stay stagnant in that one place. And it's not healthy for, you know, the injured party or any of the involved parties. So that was just such a wonderful answer.
Thank you. Like I said, come with us some years.
And, you know, I guess you're right. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a matter of minutes. It's a process, and it does take time. And for some people, the best answer is to stay apart, while others, in your case, it was great. You know, you and your mom are back to a good place now. But sometimes, you know, the good place is no place at all in some cases, you know. But whatever works.
Sometimes the good place is no place at all. Let's just not be angry about it.
Right. Esther, did you have any other question or comment?
Can you hear me, Maria?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't have any other questions, but I just wanted to say again that I've really enjoyed the program tonight. And it's touching real issues, because whether we want to accept it or not, or face it or not, there are a lot of people that are hurting in situations just like what your guest is talking about tonight, and just so many other ways. And so I just appreciate you all for really touching on real issues that we're facing and being very transparent. So thank you for taking my call, and that's pretty much what I wanted to share.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for calling in tonight. Yeah. And thank you for
your
wonderful words of validation and encouragement, because, you know, no matter how many people we touch in the world, it's always good for us to hear that little kudos at the end of the day.
Well, thank you. I'm happy that I was able to.
Especially at the end of a long week. You want to end on the process. Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
If I may just add, that whole thing of forgiveness and not being upset with people who don't respond the way you do, and not holding on to that anger, I will admit that when this whole thing happened, that that God and I were not on speaking terms. We were not. We had fallen out. When that happened, because I couldn't understand it. I was like, no, there's just no reason. There's no rhyme for this. And so I like to say that we were not on speaking terms. But what I realized is that I was not on speaking terms with God. But God had been with me. I'm going to read a little bit more from my book, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And part of this chapter is called Never Alone. And it reads, I had always been a believer in God. I didn't go to church or follow specific religious teaching, but I always held God in my heart. I considered myself spiritual, and for me, that was enough. When muscular dystrophy entered my life, whatever tenuous connection I had with God was summarily severed. Let's just say that God and I were no longer on speaking terms. I was angry, hurt, and confused. What kind of God would do this to an innocent child, to my incredibly beautiful innocent child? He was just 5 years old. And what made God think that I had the strength or the courage to deal with this? Did he not see how impatient and undisciplined I was? Did he not see what a coward I was? If God knew me at all, then he would know that I was not the right person for this challenge. And since he obviously didn't know me or apparently care about me or my child, God and I just stopped talking. And one of the things that surprised me at my first conference for muscular dystrophy is how many parents were not on speaking terms with God. They were all angry and upset about having this disease in their lives. They felt abandoned by God, left alone to suffer the unfathomable. And yeah, there were some whose faith actually grew stronger, who used their faith to draw closer to their families and get closer to God. But I wasn't one of those. Now, after my getting over the initial shock that my marriage was coming to an end, you know, I actually felt relief. Even during the insanity, instability, and stress of my separation and new role as a single parent to a toddler and a handicapped child, I felt relieved. It was like coming home after a long and exhausting road trip, but here's the best part. I arrived home in the middle of the night, in the middle of my life, and there, in an overstuffed armchair under a tall reading light, sat God. Stumbling into that house, the house where God sat, I felt worn, torn, abused, and tired. I stumbled in, turned around, and saw God sitting there. And he was sitting there with a look on his face that let me know he had been waiting for a while. "I'm so glad to see you," he said to me. There was no accusation, "Where have you been?" No judgment, "What took you so long?" No, he was just glad to see me. And at that point, I realized that he had been there all the time, just waiting for me to forgive him, to love me, to direct me. Though I had stopped speaking to him, he never stopped speaking to me. He never stopped caring for me and protecting me. I realized that God had always been there for me, right there in that chair by the door, taking care of me, supporting me, and just waiting for me. He saw me through the diagnosis of my son. He helped me cope and manage with grace throughout its progression. He also saw me through the dissolving of my marriage, through my stressful separation. God was right there and had been with me all the time. It's hard to describe the joy and comfort I felt at that moment, the moment I realized that God had done all this for me and my faith wasn't even that strong. Of course, that was about to change. After realizing God had been waiting for me and was so happy to see me and had done all he had done for me, I felt the least I could do would sit with him for a spell, sit down and prepare for the lesson that had been waiting for me for so long. As the saying goes, only when the student is ready will the teacher appear. Well, I was ready. I took a seat in God's house. I took off my shoes and settled in. I felt happy, fortunate, and blessed.
Wow.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful.
You know, let me say this, because one thing that I'm hearing, and I did not have a child with muscular dystrophy, but the way that, as Sister Esther said, the way that you're presenting this with the transparency and the, you know, you're just so open about it.
Yeah.
It's just something, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, so you'll know in a moment. You know, Les Brown, of course, one of his seven principles of that storytelling. When you tell your story, you know, it does. It allows us to expand our minds and unlock our hearts and ignite our spirit, because, you know, when your words are helping to incite that change. And I know that if it's working for me, I know that it'll work and resonate throughout the world and all of my listeners throughout the world, because we need to hear, as Sister Esther had said, the transparency. We need to, you know, you put us in a place where we feel what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at it from a different place, because for me, you know, dealing with family, you know, sometimes the best answer for me is to not be there. You know, it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes people need to have, we need to have that time apart.
Mm-hmm.
But you're proof that there is hope. You know, even if it's down to down the line, there's still hope.
Mm-hmm.
And you're opening up our spirits to let us know that we can make it through this, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is. Whatever
mm-hmm.
it is, you know, we can make it through it. And I just wanted to find out, you know, writing a book takes a lot. It takes a lot. And what made you decide to sit down and write about what you've gone through?
Well, you know what, Maria, it's exactly what you just said. You have been touched. You are thinking about your own life. Perhaps my words will make a difference in your life and how you deal with your family. That's why. When I first, that first little story that I read for you about my son and I on the side of the road that day, I wrote that, you know, after I got home and sent it to a few of my friends because,
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to share what I was feeling. And I got such tremendous feedback. Oh, my God, Scott, that's beautiful. Oh, I know two people who are dealing with that same situation. I'm going to send it to them. Or people would you know, email me back and say, I know exactly what this is like. Thank you for sharing. And I thought, oh, my gosh, here is something that can be of assistance to others. And suddenly, the why me question was answered. You know, as I said, when he was first diagnosed, why me? Why would this be in my place? Doesn't God know that I can't handle this? And then it was that moment that said, okay, so this could have a purpose. Perhaps my pain will be a guiding light someone else. And if that's the case, oh my gosh, it makes it worthwhile. You know what I mean? It's like I want to feel that I'm going through this, that we are going through this for a purpose. I want to feel that. And so this gives me that validation that lets me think that, okay, there's a person, there's a purpose here. Not only am I here to help my son, but I'm here to help thousands of other parents of children with special needs. I'm here to help thousands of other people who have just gone through difficult times. If I can do that, then I feel that I have lived, you know, my purpose, that I've done what I'm here to do, that I've taken this thing that maybe was meant for my downfall, maybe it was meant for my harm, but I can turn it into something that is good. Not just for me, not just for my family, but for many, many others. And, you know, really, I believe that our greatest honor is to positively impact another person's life. And if I have the opportunity to do that, then I have lived my purpose. It's the same with what you do, what you do on this call. You have the opportunity every week, multiple times a week, to positively impact another person's life. What more is there?
Oh, yes, I can relate.
Absolutely.
What a
Absolutely.
Feeling. What a feeling.
Isn't that a song? Star, thank you again. I just concur with everyone who talks about your transparency. You can't help anyone else if you're not open and honest yourself. You can't help yourself unless you're open about what's going on with you and how life has just you know, hit you in such unexpected ways. Uh-huh. But what came to mind as you were speaking about anger, we know that blame is the first cousin of anger. Mm-hmm. Were there times where you blamed somebody, anybody, anything for the situation that you unwillingly happened to be put into?
I don't understand why you keep cutting so close to the bone. You know, I gave you a list
of
questions.
That's
what we do. A list of questions that I was comfortable answering. And here you are asking me these other questions, very personal questions.
Maria told you we can feel you. We've got that kindred connection here.
Okay. Oh, my Lord.
She was like, don't ask that question. Don't ask that question. Mm. Please don't ask that question.
You know, I'd have to say absolutely. I have to say absolutely. So my son was, after he was diagnosed, we put him in piano lessons because that would be good for his dexterity and his fine motor skills. and his father played piano. So we wanted him to learn to play piano. So he's taking piano lessons, and we're at the piano at home, and we're practicing, you know, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star or some such thing we're doing. And he made a mistake, and I had these 5x7 index cards in my hand, and I slapped him with them.
Oh.
I must have caught his lip at just the right angle because it got cut on his teeth, and I gave my son a bloody lip. And so my husband was out of town at that time. You know, I cleaned him up and I apologized and all of that. And then my husband came home and said, "Hey, boy, what happened to your lip? Mommy hit me." Great. Mommy hit him. And then my husband was livid, you know, that I had hurt our son. And I told him I didn't mean it. I don't know what came over me. And I have already made an appointment with the therapist to talk about what the heck is going on. I'm already doing that. So because I knew that something was going on. Something was happening. Because it's not like I wanted to do it. It was such an automatic reaction. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, there are times when you know, if you believe in corporal punishment, it needs to be a methodical thing that you are conscious that you are doing, but not this unconscious, you know, reaction. So I knew something was going on. So I go to counseling, and we talk about it, and it comes out that I was mad at my son for being sick, and that was something that I wasn't, I guess, aware of. I don't know, but that is how that manifested. Like I said, when you hold on to emotions, they will find a way out.
They're coming out. Absolutely.
They will come out.
Right.
So
did you blame him for his illness? Did you blame yourself?
Did you blame your husband? Not in my conscious mind. You know, I'm an attorney. I've got a very logical, reasonable mind. You know, and logically, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But emotionally, apparently I was angry. I mean, who was I angry at? I don't know. I took it out on him. I was angry. Did I blame myself? I keep telling you, in my conscious mind, absolutely not. But in my heart, in my spirit, I have carried some guilt. I have carried some recrimination. What have I done? Maybe if I had not married someone my mother didn't approve of, maybe if I had not left the house when I did, maybe if I had been a better daughter, a better servant of God, maybe, yeah, I went through it all.
Mm-hmm.
But those thoughts just didn't get me anywhere. They didn't put me in a place I wanted to be, and so I had to let them go as much as I could. As much as I could, I had to let them go. You know, that struggle between my mind and my spirit, I would say in this respect, my mind won.
Right.
You know,
can you recall at any specific time or an event or anything where you felt free, that you had been released, that you were free?
What? Tell me what you mean by that.
Free not to blame, free not to anger, just, you know, you're still in the situation, true enough, but you're again comfortable in your own skin.
You know, I keep thinking back when you said that. The first thing I think back to was that moment on the highway where I expressed how I felt, where I expressed my anger, my hurt, my hatred to my son, and he threw his arms around me. I think that was the moment where I felt I could release it, where I finally felt I was going to be okay, that we were going to be okay.
Right. Wow. This is, I would be lying to my listeners if I didn't say that I wasn't sitting up here a little teary-eyed, because, you know, one thing that, another thing I guess we could say, Star, that you and I have in common is that I studied law in college. I'm a mediator. Yeah. You're an attorney. You know, at some point, a lot of times people look at that and they hold certain professions to a higher standard, but they forget that we're also human beings. And when you shared that you had gotten angry or you were upset and you had cut his lip with the cards, I'm getting to the point where I want our listeners to understand that there's no shame in admitting that you have a problem and going to get help. You know, because in certain socioeconomic groups or ethnicities, going to get any type of mental help is almost taboo. It's it's something that you just don't do. But, you know, could you elaborate on that a bit? You know, I guess I want our listeners to understand that, as you said, you're an attorney, and some people are probably thinking, well, she should have known better. But the bottom line is, we're human. You're a human being. So for you, there was no shame, was it? You knew what you had to do, and you had gone out, and you did it. You got the help that you needed.
Yeah, I guess there was no shame in going to a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
No shame in that. I had done it before, but you know, there was definitely shame in what I did. Shame in all of those feelings, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a firm believer in getting professional help, not just in terms of therapy, but in terms of running a business, starting a business, becoming a speaker. I mean, you know, why is it that we think we have to do it by ourselves, or that we, you know, think we can scrape by?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. And you're absolutely right. In some cultures, in some socioeconomic level, that is a sin. Why can't you handle your own problems? You don't want to go out there, and it tells you, what are you talking about, generational. You don't go out and tell strangers your business. That's
right
inside the house.
Exactly.
You know, I know that it's there, and I know that we suffer because of it. We suffer needlessly because of it. It's the same thing what I say about just letting the emotions out. When you hold those things in, they manifest themselves, you know, and they manifest themselves in in bad ways. I mean, the way I felt when I just reacted and hit my kid without even a thought, that sort of non-thinking behavior scared me. It scared me because it was non-thinking. If I can do that, what else can I do without thinking? And I think a lot of times that's, you know, maybe why people make bad choices. How about that?
Right.
Some people make very, very bad choices, and maybe part of that is that they don't have an expression for all of that emotion. They don't have a way to get it out. You hold it in, it's going to leak. It's going to leak out some kind of way.
Right.
But I want to say this, if you don't mind. Just, you know, we've gone through it and we've talked about a lot of things, definitely some things I was not prepared to talk about tonight. But I will say that in all of this, the reason I know that this has been a successful adventure is when I look at my 17-year-old son, Hurricane. He's a senior in high school, about to graduate, and, you know, is contemplating what colleges he wants to go to. Now, please bear in mind that because of his disease, I have sort of prepared myself that my son will leave me. Probably before I leave this earth, he will leave me. But one of the things I did not prepare for is for my son to leave me to go to college. My son wants to go to California to college. I live in Virginia. He wants to leave home. He thinks that he can go out in the world and take care of himself without his mother. Who does he think he is?
Oh, my God. Oh, that is too cute. Who does he think he is?
Oh, gosh. Perish the thought.
Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. That's
so
God.
I look at that and I say, okay, I've done all right. If my 17-year-old wants to leave me, then I must have done something right.
That's beautiful.
That's right.
That's beautiful.
And, you know, it's so funny because when you mentioned it, I know what it was like when my son left home. And I was like, oh, well, you think you're grown? Okay. So, you know, it's one of those moments where, what, he wants to leave?
Yeah, who needs who? For real.
Exactly. It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. I love it, and I hate it at the same time.
Oh,
right, and one of the things that I really wanted to touch on, because it seems like you do apply these, and for those of you who do not know STAR has something called a STAR principle, and it's a great, great process. So if you could elaborate on that a little bit, STAR, to tell our listeners what it is and how you use them and how they can use them, actually, to handle their situations with, you know, a lot of dignity and grace.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, I have the STAR principles and STAR points. And, yeah, you know, my mom made me STAR, so I'm taking full advantage of it. So the STAR principles for this particular book I wrote, S is for start anew, meaning when something happens to us, we spend a lot of time going, why me? Why is this happening? Right? We had all these plans and all these things that we were going to do, and then something goes wrong, and we keep holding on to those old plans and those old thoughts and those old ideas, complaining because things have changed. I think at some point we need to let that go and start anew. Wipe the slate clean. Okay, so now I'm here. What can I do with the tools that I have? So the first principle is to start anew. The next one is to take time to live and to laugh. We get so caught up in what's necessary, what we have to do, especially when my son was first diagnosed. What's the best therapy for him, physical therapy? Should we take him swimming? You know, should we use these kind of pills, those kind of supplements, all of these things that we're doing every day? You know, he's got to do his stretches. He's got to do this. He's got to, and you can just run yourself down. You've got to take time to live and to laugh. You know, there are still moments of joy. You've got to look for those moments a little bit harder, and you've got to hold on to them a little bit longer. It's the only way that you're going to survive, is to take time to live and to laugh. And then A is for accept the tears, which is a lot of what I've talked about today. There are going to be tears. You know, I've said to my son, if there is anything in this world worth crying over, I think this would be one of them. This would be, you know, in the top few, the top dozen of things worth crying about. So when the tears come, let them come. Accept that they are part of the process, you know. And I say accept the tears, accept your own tears, and accept the tears of the person who is suffering, the person who is dealing with the affliction, whether it is your child or your spouse or your grandmother. Let them have their emotions. Just be there. Accept that tears are a part of it. Doesn't mean we wallow in it. It just means that we walk through it. And then the last one is the R. And R is for replenish your spirit. We all have cell phones. And we all know that our cell phones work better when they are fully charged. When you get down to one bar or that bar starts blinking, you start dropping calls. You can't hear that clearly, right? Some calls will go straight to voicemail and you'll miss them completely. Why? Because your phone is not charged. It's the same thing with us as people, especially caregivers. You know, statistics show that caregivers die before the people they are caring for, because they never take a break, because they never replenish their spirit. And what kind of parent, what kind of spouse, what kind of caregiver are you if you are constantly running on one bar? If you want to be a better caregiver, you need to take a break. You need to take a break and replenish your spirit. And whatever that is to you, maybe that means going to church. Maybe that means going to a park with a book for an hour. Maybe that means, you know, running. You know, I know a girlfriend of mine used to like to go grocery shopping. That was her quiet time. Whatever it is for you, you've got to take that time. And don't think that, oh, my God, but my family needs you. You know what? They need you with four bars. That's the way they need you. So if you really want to take care of your family, if you really want to give them the best that you have, you've got to take time to replenish your own spirit. And so those are the STAR principles for dealing with unexpected challenges. The first is to start anew. Stop looking at the past and what's lost. Let's look at what we have. Let's start anew. Just to take time to laugh and to live, because we are still alive and we've got to find the joy. The third one, the A is to accept the tears. There are going to be tears. Let them come and let them go, and let's move on. And the last one is to replenish your spirit, to give your loved ones the best that you have. You've got to take care of yourself. Those are your start points.
Thank
I love
you them. For those principles. Thank you, thank you. And I know if the callers and the guests in the other queue and on Facebook and on our Facebook page are really listening and absorbing this, that these principles can work for them too. Thank you so much. My next question is, how does your book, how can your book help those who don't have a child with a physical challenge?
Well, you know, challenges come in all sizes, all shapes, all colors. We all have challenges. Mine happens to be a child with a life-altering disease, but we go through hard times and hardships, and how hard, it depends on who you are, where you are in your life. There are times, you know, maybe having a child with a life-altering disease definitely knocked me off my feet. But sometimes, you know, getting a divorce, when you thought you were together forever, will knock you off your feet. Sometimes after 25 years of service to a corporation, and they say you decided to do something else with your job, and they do that in an email, sometimes that will knock you off your feet. You know, when you get the letter from the attorney that says your house is about to be foreclosed on, okay, you might get knocked off your feet. And the same principles that apply to me, the same STAR principles there, can apply to any situation. Any situation where you need to pick yourself back up, dust yourself off, and start all over again.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's more or less, you know, any situation anybody can learn from. A challenge is a challenge. Some are more challenging, but what's a challenge to me might not be a challenge to you. So I might break my fingernail and just have a fit. You know, that's my challenge, even though I don't have any. But, you know, for some people can deal with different situations, you know, better than they can others. And I just want to applaud you for being you, you know, not for being a mother, a lawyer, any of those things, just for being you. And tonight for you, sharing you with us, Star, I really just love you and thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you.
It has been my honor. It's been a good one. And I thank you for making me dig a little deeper.
Okay.
You know, it's always good. It's not like it becomes rote, but I've done this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you brought tears to my eyes tonight, and not bad ones. It's just, like I said, it's good to let the emotions come and let them go. It's good to feel every now and again, to remember
right.
That this is serious. But
right.
All that it shows me is how much I have grown and how grateful I am and how blessed I am. So I thank you.
And I'll tell you this, too. You know, when Star and I had spoken actually a couple months ago, I guess, you know, I told you that it'd be like we are two old friends sitting on the front porch drinking some iced tea, I believe. We had decided on some iced tea, and it's going to be very transparent and very open and honest. And, you know, again, I always tell people that God is my program director, so whatever comes out, you know, you know, I'm glad that, you know, we took you to a place that you had not gone in a while, and that, you know, it's something about that bringing the tears. Tears are so healing. They're so freeing. They're so cleansing. So, you know, I very much enjoyed our conversation, but for all of our listeners, if you have a question or a comment, welcome to all of you in the call query. There's quite a few. Press the number 1 on your phone, and we will bring you on air with our special guest this evening, Star Beaubertin. And as you know, you've heard that Star is a mother, first and foremost. She's an attorney. She's also, of course, a member of the Les Brown Platinum Speakers. She's a coach. She's a great coach, a wonderful coach, wonderful coach. So, with that said, Star, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, they can, first of all, spelling of my name, it's Star, S-T-A-R, as in Twinkle, Twinkle. The last name is Bobatoon. It's Bob A. Toon, B-O-B-A-T-O-O-N, Star Bobatoon. I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, Star Bobatoon. My website is mystarpoints.com, mystarpoints.com, because I have basically star points are my short motivational messages that I use in almost everything that I do, and I shared some of them with you tonight. You can go to mystarpoints.com. But for my book in particular, it has its own website, and it's called I Hate MD. I Hate MD. M as in muscular, D as in dystrophy. IHateMD.com. And if you go to the website, you can pick up the book, which I hope that you do. And you can, there's also a place where you can send me a comment if you do have a child with a life-altering disease, or you're caring for someone with a life-altering disease, share that with me. I would just like to know where you're coming from. Or you can also share your comments with about the book. On my website, My Star Points, I have my CD called Illuminate Your Life. It is 10 of my favorite star points coupled to some very addictive and very, very exciting music, which is great for uplifting your spirit and your mind. So that's my contact information. Star Bobatoon website, mystarpoints.com, or ihatemd.com. Oh, so email star@starbobatoon.com, star@starbobatoon.com.
So there you have it. Wow, this has been, once again, such a wonderful conversation. I am so glad. And I'll tell you all, when I had first heard Star speak, I don't know what it is. You have to have that where it's something that has no name, but you know that you have that connection or whatever you want to call it. I call it the something that has no name. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
But I knew that I felt her story then, and I feel it now, even more because, as you know, we delved a little deeper this evening. But, you know, it's when you put that face to the heartache and pain, and, you know, you're a wonderful example of you can do it. And this is something that can affect anyone at any time. We all go through our trials. No person's trial is any less than anyone else's, but it's how we deal with them that makes all the difference in the world.
Mm.
And the bottom line is, you know, this is just a small point. Get what you need out of our conversation this evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting what you need. Some people may be totally in that world where they don't feel as though they need any of this. So I might invite Star back to talk about denial. So, you know, you know, that's fine
okay.
too.
You're
no
good
problem.
About calling people out, aren't you?
Real people,
calling
real
people
stories.
Out.
Real hurt, real healing. You know, I always tell people they will never come to this show and hear what they want to hear. They will hear what they need to hear. There's a remarkable difference between what you want and what you need. You know, they can come here and think that they're going to get a nice cheesy burger, but we're actually going to give them the air that they need to breathe, because telling people what they want doesn't necessarily solve the problem. It's just the Band-Aid to pacify the situation at hand for a short time. So, and you know, and
that's
again,
what,
you know,
Maria, I love about this show, and you hit on it a few minutes ago. This show is unscripted, unrehearsed. And it just goes to prove my motto, what comes from the heart reaches the heart.
Mm.
You know, yes. Writing a script and all of that, it becomes cold to me and mechanical. And, oh, I've got to go by the script. I can't say that because that's not what I wrote. You know, we believe in letting the spirit flow. You know, the name of this program is Faith and Praise. And we have to have faith that God is going to guide us on this program where he wants us to go. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happens. You know, those mm-hmm. tears weren't scripted. They weren't rehearsed. You know, they were heartfelt. They came from the heart, and they reached me deeply, totally deeply. And I'm sure they reached the rest of the callers, too. So I just applaud Maria for allowing God, for following God's purpose mm-hmm. for her with the vision for this program tonight. And just letting it be real. Just letting it be real. That's what we as women need. We don't need anything sugar-coated because they'll sugarcoat stuff out in the street. People will tell you what you want to hear to get what they want to get. You know, here we right. get what we need. Here we get what we need without asking for anything in return. And that's the blessing of this program and for our guest speaker tonight.
Right. And before you go, Star, mm-hmm. do you have any ending words that you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight? Or any words of encouragement, enlightenment, inspiration, whatever, you know, word, descriptive word you'd like to add to it, that our listeners can be left with on their heart, minds, bodies, spirits, and souls this evening.
Well, the one thing that I would say is that this life is a journey. That it's a journey. It's not a destination. We're not trying to get there. We're on a journey, and that journey goes up, and that journey goes down. I think that it is our responsibility to find the joy in our lives. I think that it's not for us to leave it to God or to leave it to our parents or to leave it to our spouses or to leave it to anyone.
Right.
The joy always exists. Love always exists. It is always there. Just like for me, God was always there, whether or not I was talking to him or not. He was always there. The joy, the love, the possibilities are always there. It is up to us to choose to see them, to choose
right.
to embrace them, to choose to use them. My suggestion to you is to choose joy, to choose love. That would be my encouragement. My name is Star Babatun, and I encourage you most of all to embrace your inner light and be the star that you were born to be. Thank you both so much for this opportunity.
Well, Star, now you have callers with questions. So
okay.
you have a few more moments?
Yes, that's it. I was wrapping it up, but that's okay.
caller, last four, 9174. You are on air with Star Babatun on Friday night, Faith and Praise. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Tansi Maria. This is Arlene Fan of Arlene Fan Sweats. Thank you so much, Star. I was sitting here. My phone's about to die, but I said, I need to call in and let Star know how she just touched my heart with the acronym that she had for Star. And like you, see, Maria, I became a little teary-eyed because I know from having, you know, my son in mm-hmm. being in the car accident and now paralyzed, I know yeah. and what you said, Star, about start anew, and that, and then accept the tears. That was like, thank you. It was like, thank you. It's okay. okay for those tears because they're cleansing. So, Star, thank you for your message. Thank you for your book. And I will be going over to your website. I just wanted to tell you that. But and I thank you for your courage that you shared with us and your openness and your transparency. Didn't have a question, just wanted to say thank you.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate all of your words. Thank you so much, and sending you love and prayers also for your family.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Arlene, so much for your continued support and prayers.
Yes.
And I just love the synergy of the sisterhood. And, you know, Star, as I said, your story touches me in such a deep way, and I'm sure it touches a lot of our listeners. And just so you know, when you were stuck on that plane last Saturday, Sister Arlene happened to have been on the line, and she shared her story of her son who ended up paralyzed. And he was in an accident. So, again, this is about that healing process. And even though it was meant to be Star's story last week, our listeners have a double whammy. You all have heard two stories of resilience and faith and strength and healing, but most of all, hope and faith. Yeah. And that's what this is all about. That's what this vision has been since day one. And I love it. You don't just have to hear it from me. You hear it from so many other people. So, Star, I know it's getting late for you, and I know that she's always on the go, ladies and gentlemen. She's always on the go. So, thank
this
you so chill. Much for being here
this
thank evening.
You. And Star knows it last week and today and always. You are being lifted in prayer. We didn't know what happened last week initially, but as Arlene was telling her story in such a gracious way, we were in the background praying for you. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, most of the time everything goes according to plan, so I cannot complain when once in a while things go awry. You know, as much as I travel, 95% of the time, everything goes exactly as it's supposed to go. But when you travel this much, things are gonna go wrong. They just are.
Yeah. But you know what? You weren't meant to be there last week. You were meant to be here tonight. So once again, divine timing.
Yes, hey. I agree completely. So thank you again.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful remainder of your weekend, and safe travels to you.
Thank you so
much. Good night.
Tina Maria, thank you both. And thank all the listening and the callers. I appreciate you.
We appreciate you too. Well, ladies and gentlemen, This is just our second show, Sister Tina. This is our second show. And thank you so much to our sister, Faith, a believer, over here in the chat room. She's posting and putting up all of Star's information in our Facebook event page. Thank you so much. I just dubbed her as our social networking guru-esque. She is on top of things. for us. So thank you so much.
What's the name of the page?
Maria, there's somebody on the call. I'm sorry.
Oh, is it? Where?
Is there a caller in the queue?
I believe.
I don't know if anyone else is there.
There's people there, but they're not waiting to be on air, so we're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm hearing that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's because you're tired. So again, tonight, our special guest has been Star Bobatoon. Feel free to contact her get in contact. She is on Facebook, for those of you who found us there. I will be posting all of her information on all of the other social networking sites. And I do believe that if you found us through our show page, a link to her website is already included there in the bio section. But once again, thank each and every one of you. We will be back. I will be back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock for our regular Healing Through Hurt iTalk radio show. Okay. Where my special guest will be author and speaker Tony Hatton. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, I pray each and every one of you enough. I pray you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days. I also pray you enough rain to make your gardens grow beautifully. And I pray you enough smiles to turn that frown you've been carrying around upside down. But most of all, I pray you enough strength and courage to face whatever may be coming your way this week and beyond. And before I turn it over to Sister Tina and Sister Arlene, and who else has a final message, as always, remember to pay it and pray it.
Bring it
forward. And, of course, just remember, registration is still open for our Marathon of Hope Kingdom movement. If you want more information on that, we have some dynamic speakers coming up for this. They always say that hurt people hurt people. Well, some of us, we are the hurt people who heal people through our stories, through our struggles, through our survival. So get involved. Sign up for the Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement. There's several ways you can do that. You can find us on the Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement Facebook page, group, rather. You can do a search there. You can type HOPE, text HOPE, to 202-618-2556, and I will personally send you the link for the registration page. And before I go, I'm turning it over to Sister Tina, Sister Star, she's still with us, Sister Arlene, if you have any closing messages, or Sister Faith, a Believer, if you have a message, I believe you're in the call query too, feel free. Let me know, and we will put you on air because this is the Friday night faith and praise session.
Yeah. Anyone with any final words? Sister Arlene, be my guest.
I just want to say thank you. And the final words that I would have, Sister Tina and Sister Maria, is simply this. The words that STAR spoke in that acronym STAR, if we would take those and embrace them and use them in our lives, we too will see the change. We too will embrace and see the hope and just see such faith that the Lord will just truly be with us. So I didn't have much to say other than just I'm in a thankful mode tonight, just a thankful one, thanking the Lord for the spiritual health that he's shown tonight. Just that, I don't know, I'm speechless.
Wow.
Well, I tell you amen to that. Sister Star and everyone, that our job is well done. Amen and amen.
And you know what, Sister Arlene? That was pretty much how you left us last Saturday. So
yes.
Payback, okay?
Yes.
You left us just on such a spiritual plane that you really couldn't explain it. You really couldn't. You had to be here. You had to feel it for yourself. And I'm just totally, doubly blessed, abundantly blessed that in less than a week, you know, I've been able to hear two stories of two tremendously strong sisters who have overcome and are overcoming challenges that just a lot of people wouldn't be able to take. You know, I love you both for your words of encouragement and inspiration and encouragement, not for just those with children who have disabilities, but for anyone who has their own personal disabilities or dis-ease. And I break dis-ease down into two parts. Dis-ease. You can have dis-ease in your mind. You can have dis-ease in your body. You can have dis-ease in your spirit. But what you and Star taught us tonight and last Saturday was that dis-ease can be put at ease with faith and praise and belief and persistence, with tenacity, with encouragement and accepting. And both of you talked about accepting help from others, you know, knowing that we don't have to do anything alone. We don't. We just don't. You know, there are people, professionals and non-professionals, that are here to reach out to us to give us a helping hand. So that's the message that I've gotten all week. And I'm just real, real happy and grateful for that. Thank you, Star, and thank you, Arlene. Thank you, Maria. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. And again, if anyone would like to end us with a prayer, now is the time for us to bow our heads. Sister Arlene, Sister Star, whomever. Anyone.
Okay.
We have another caller on the line. Oh. Caller,
all right.
Last 4-4-6-3-2. Welcome.
God bless you. The magic word for me, Sister Maria, this is Marcella Moore. You said anybody like to pray, and praying is the heart of who I am. And I didn't get a chance to communicate with you all through Facebook tonight because I was on the road, but I dialed in, and I'm so grateful that, you know, I have this avenue that I like last week I was able to communicate on Facebook, on the group page, and talk. That's pretty powerful. But I'm grateful that I had I was able to call in and dial in tonight and just be a part. I love you, ladies. I love what's happening with all of us, and I just love what God is doing, and I am so excited about it. So you said anybody want to pray us out, I will be happy to pray us out because I'm just going to be
wonderful.
All.
Amen, amen.
I am so grateful. Father, we just thank you. We thank you so much. We thank you for just giving us another opportunity tonight, to giving us another resource and avenue to be able to just dwell in your presence, to be strengthened, to encourage each other, to receive of each other. God, we just thank you because you are such a powerful God. You have a way of connecting us from all parts of this country, far and wide and near and close up. You have a way of just keeping us and hooking us up together, and for that we are so grateful. I thank you tonight, God, for just everything that you've done in the midst of this call. From the time that we've gathered together at 9 o'clock p.m. up until now, we thank you for every word that was shared. We thank you for all the tears that were released here tonight. We thank you for the encouraging words that were released on this call tonight. And we thank you because we know and we trust and believe that these words will fall on good ground. And the things that we didn't understand all the way today, we thank you and asking you to just illuminate them in our minds, even as we hang up from each other tonight. Allow the words and the time and the spirit and everything that took place during this time, let it resonate with us. Let it rest upon us as we rest tonight. God, allow this to just be an opportunity just to stir us up in a greater magnitude. Allow this time to push us to that next phase, that next level, that next dimension that you have in our lives. We thank you so much, God, just for the unity and the fellowship and the strength that you're developing in the midst of us as women tonight. You're doing something supernatural in us, and we thank you because we heard the call. We felt the move. We ran with the wind as it breezed through us, and we made it up in our minds tonight, each and every one of us, that this time that we would not miss the season of your movement. We would not miss the season of your hand, but this night, God, that we would stand ready and willing and open to be able to receive that which you would have for us. So I thank you, God, for the visionaries here, even blessing them and just opening their minds and illuminating them even the more, God, giving them more vision and giving them more opportunity and wisdom as to how to direct these calls as they move forth in the future. We thank you, God. We pray even now for the ones that you're sending this way. We thank you, God, that even as we stand tonight, we stand as intercessors praying for the women that you're going to cause to come into this fold. We pray for them now. We just thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Star tonight. We continue to pray for her. We continue to pray her strength in you and that you will continue to move upon her like you're doing tonight, because you started something even supernatural in the midst of her tonight, God. And we thank you for allowing that to carry forth in her life, that even as she continues to go forward and speaking, that those times will be different now because you've elevated her to another level. So we just thank you so much tonight for everything that you're doing, everything that has been said. We thank you for the love that we share in this call and this time. And we're just trusting you right now, God. We're trusting you. We're trusting you to move on our behalf. We're trusting you to do supernatural things in the midst of our lives. So we just thank you, say thank you once again, God, as your daughters, as your queens, as your chosen vessels and your royal priesthood and your chosen generation, everything that you called us to be. We submit ourselves unto you this night, sitting at your feet, saying thank you for all of your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
Amen.
And amen and amen. Sister Marcella, thank you.
Thank you.
Sister Marcella,
thank you.
Would you mind telling us about your Meditate and Pray group?
Okay. Every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock a.m., we gather together. Women from all over the country, people from Arizona, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, Texas, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, they're all on the call in the morning, and we gather together for a time of motivation and inspiration and encouragement and prayer. Now, take about 15 to 20 minutes just to give some encouraging words, and then after that, we go into about a 20 to 25-minute time of prayer. The prayer request, and when we initially started the call, it was started a year ago with just 9 of us on the phone, and the call, we're all almost at 100 people calling now, and the call just grew so much that it used to be an open call, and I used to take prayer requests on the call, but it just turned into being so much. So now we just ask people to send their prayer requests to the email address. But it's just an awesome time of us getting together and connecting with each other and strengthening each other. And just, you know, doing what we do and just growing in the grace of God and sharing, you know, what I believe is God's word and timing and moving for us right now. So that's what it is. That's my baby. And I just thank God and I trust him and just continue to move, you know, with the flow. You know, because I believe that right now that this is the season for us to truly come forth and move in what God has called us to do, because God's hand is on all of us, and we all have a story to tell. We all have a story to tell, and I honestly believe that people are earnestly waiting and praying for the gift of us to just come forth and share that which we have in our heart, soul, mind, and body, because we have stories to tell, and we are survivors. We're overcomers. We've been through some things, and we're here to tell the story. And I'm, you know, my prayer is that we will have the courage to just walk our stories out and share them and trust that, you know, they will open the hearts and mind and soul of someone somewhere.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What God has put together, let no sword be raised against us.
Amen.
No sword.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
This is something great is happening. Something
mm-hmm.
great
there's
is
a
emerging.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, this is a total walk of faith. Here
yes.
we are, a bunch of women, didn't know each other a few months ago.
No.
Had no idea. Yet here we are. But for God, God brought
yes.
us together for a reason.
Yes, he did.
For a reason. You know, some of us sit, some of us we're looking for that change. We're looking for that breakthrough.
Yes, yes.
You know, if you were here and you were on the call when the vision came through, look at how far we've come. And what is this, Sister Tina, 2-3 weeks?
Yes, yes. 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks to tomorrow.
3 weeks' time.
Wow.
We have done so much in 3 weeks' time. And the best is yet to come. The best
Amen.
Is yet to come.
Amen. Amen.
And what God has for us, God has deemed it so. Whether it will be some of us may be spreading the word here. We may be moving along on U.S. soil. Others of us have been charged to
yes.
go abroad.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I see us. We're going to be out there. We're going to spread the word. We're going to heal as many people as we can. And tonight, once again, this is just our second show. And oh, what a show it was.
Yes.
Just the second show. And this show is going to take on a life all of its own. It's going to grow. It's going to continue to thrive. We're going to continue to network, to pull all of our shows together. Because people can never get enough of Jesus. No harm, but they just can't.
Yes, yes.
So we're going to make sure that during the Marathon of Hope, through our shows and everything, we are going to have coverage so that people will be able to move around and get their fill for a weekend. And beyond, because that weekend is just our kickoff. This is going to become bigger than any of us by ourselves.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
This is going to become something else. I was but the vessel. I received the vision. But the vision is not for me. He didn't say, Maria, I'm sending you back to the land of the living so that you can do all of this by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
No one has ever accomplished very much without help and working with others. So the bottom line is God has charged us to a mighty mission. He didn't say these people over here, this is ours. People can try to emulate, whatever other elevate word you want to use. The bottom line
is you're going to make up words again. She loves to make up words.
Elevate, whatever we're going to use.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what, Sister Tina? You didn't have to bring attention and call me out like that. I was.
You know what comes up comes out.
Messed everything up, and I'm done talking.
Humor is it's good for the soul. Okay.
Every week you all pick on me. Every week you all pick on me. I'm.
That's because we love you,
right? You can't deny that you all pick on me every week. I tell you.
If we didn't love you, we wouldn't pick on you. Okay? That's love. That's real love.
I tell you, I get picked on every week. I don't understand. And the worst part is y'all pick on me on my own show. How does that work?
Oh, my God, you are beautiful. You are just beautiful inside and out, and we just love those made-up words.
You've been laughing at all kinds of things. I don't understand. I don't understand what the problem is. But that's fine.
It's not a problem. It's good for us. That's God. You know, we've been doing some serious stuff here. I mean, some deep, gut-wrenching stuff. And he said, no, I'm a guide you out on a happy tune, on a cheerful tune with laughter. It's all God's will, sweetheart.
Where's my faithful servant, Sister Maria? Let me let them laugh a bit. I'm like, excuse me, Lord. I'm like, why is it always me?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God.
I'll tell you,
you're his chosen vessel.
Yeah, for a host of things, obviously.
Okay.
This is Arlene. Well, can you hear me? I don't know if you can hear me.
Arlene.
You can hear me.
Yes.
I
can hear you.
I think this is the way for us to keep replenishing ourselves, leaving out with one of the things Sister Star said about replenishing our spirit. So that laughter is like a medicine, so we're leaving out with our spirit replenished here tonight.
Absolutely.
Oh, my
Absolutely.
Well, I'm so glad.
Nancy's not going to stop laughing.
I'm so glad that my pathetic existence is such a joy to everyone.
And is Sister Marcella still there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Thank you so much for that prayer. I mean, it was I mean, that was awesome. I mean, I know that heaven was touched. I know my spirit was touched.
Yeah.
So I thank the Lord. Now I have to check out your page and check out the prayer. You guys are doing things early in the morning. Well, I love it. I love what the Lord is doing here.
Amen.
No, we're going to get that 24/7, 365 coverage. Is this the last thing we do? Are we going to get it? Every week somebody else is coming on board, and, you know, we're leaving no stone unturned. This isn't about any one ethnicity. This is going to be worldwide.
Amen.
My plan is for us to visit other countries.
Amen.
I want us to get out there. This is about us now. This is our baby. This is our baby. We are birthing something wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
And this is ours. This is our calling. This is our charge. And, you know, Sister Tina, you know, we've met some wonderful people in the short time that this started. And when you all get around to meeting everyone, and take time, because you're all in the Marathon of Hope. You know that I've been putting together our bio list. Take time to read up on one another. Get to know your fellow sisters, because each one of us has a wonderful, wonderful story to tell, and each one is bringing something different to this whole process here, to this whole movement. Everyone has their own specific task to do. So some of us, we haven't figured out what it is just yet, but it's coming together the way that it is supposed to. I see Sister Faith A. Believer, she's on it. She is on it. She's posting information. She is putting it out there. She has everyone. You don't have to ask, because she's on it. In a matter of minutes, she's on it. She's like, what? What she say? She does what? You could probably hear her typing. She probably, let me get that going. And I'm like, well, never mind. I don't need to tell people. Well, I'll come back and post. Never mind. Sister Faith A. Believer already did it. So,
yeah, she is, you know, she's just our resident hostess. I mean, what I love about her, and there's no shame, I'm so happy that I'm able to give accolades to other women today, because there was a time where I wouldn't. You know, my thing was, I can't stand women. Well, I, of course I couldn't stand women because I couldn't stand myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just goes to figure, you know. If I don't like
right.
me, of course I'm not going to like you. But today, oh, my God, I embrace women in such a spiritual way today. And God's just, I'm like a magnet. He's attracting me to God-loving, God-fearing, sharing, caring, loving women. And today I'm just blessed. I love me, and I love each and every one of you. Believe me, I do from the bottom of my heart. I do.
Ooh. Yes.
This
yes.
Is good. This is good.
Yes. And I tell you something. I don't like every female. I don't like most people, to be honest. I'm just going to keep it real. The bottom line is.
There she goes.
Oh, wait.
There she goes.
This must be. Hold on. I think this is Sister Faith A. Believer. We have about 4 minutes left. I believe this is Sister Faith A. Believer. She is on the line right now. I think this is her. Could be wrong. I'm going to be really embarrassed if it's not, but.
No
sister
need.
Faith.
Blessings, my sisters.
Yes,
good
ma'am.
Evening,
hope.
Faith.
Marathon of Hope, sisters. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, every time we get together, ladies, I tell you, I get so pumped up. Sister Tina and I would talk about how tired we were. Matter of fact, Sister Tina took a nap. I didn't, by the way.
I did.
But Sister Tina took a nap. What do
tell
you
all
on?
My business.
No, we get it going.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my
you
goodness.
You know, if nobody comes on this show but us, it's all right. You know? Because we can have a good time all by ourselves.
And that's the beauty of it all. Because, you know, this that we are forming that has no name, this is something that I've been looking for my entire life. Because, you know, most times we as women, we don't get along. We want to step on each other. We want to do some pretty crazy and ruthless things, but we are sending such a strong message in so many ways. And we're growing by leaps and bounds. You all saw the message that I got from someone in Canada the other day. You know, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I just know that this is a walk of faith, and oh, what a walk of faith it is. So I am totally enjoying this, every one of you. We don't have to be connected by DNA because we are connected by praise and faith and the belief in one another and in this movement and in everything that God has for us to do. Amen and amen. This is going to be such a wonderful ride. I'm so pumped up. I might go downstairs and look at my treadmill. So
look at it.
Look at it. Look at it.
That's the first step. That's the first step. Looking at it is good.
Here comes Sister Tina again, catching on to everything. Don't take a nap before the show anymore. Just don't do it.
Okay, I'm going to put myself back on mute.
Please do. I won't be mad at you.
That's the first step to getting on there is looking at it. You can't get on it if you don't look at it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We have about a minute and 30 seconds, and I'm not fooling with Sister Tina anymore tonight.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is good. And Maria, just to think, you know, we're sisters who have never met personally. You know, we've never seen each other's faces or heard our voices other than on Facebook and on this, on our shows. And I'm just as happy
well, no,
as Snoopy.
You and I did
you know my
Skype
little
one
Snoopy
night.
Dance.
We did Skype one night. I couldn't see you clearly, but you saw me crystal clear, and I waved. Like, hey.
I did see you.
Oh,
wow. Oh,
my goodness.
This is awesome.
Oh, my sisters, we have about 43 seconds.
Oh,
Well, with those
I'm putting myself on
goals.
I'm putting myself on mute. I'm muting me.
With those 43 seconds, the believer, I want to encourage everyone to go ahead. You hear unity in this call on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio with my dear sister's Marathon of Hope. I want to encourage each and every one of you to go on line there and register and be part of this. You're going to be empowered, engaged, and inspired to move forward in this journey that we call life. Log on to Marathon of Hope. That's Marathon of Hope. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us, if you Google us, Marathon of Hope will come up. Tweet us. Share it with a friend, a family member. We want to encourage you to become a part of what God is doing. This is a God movement, and I guarantee you're going to walk away in power. So log on to www.eventbrite.com / Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement Telesummit. We want you to be a part of what God is doing in us, for us, and through us.
Amen.
Sister LaTanya, please post your contact and show information, please.
Oh, yeah.
You do it for everybody else, not do it for you. Okay.
Bless God. You can find me on the web as well. You can Google me. It's latboyd.com. That's latboyd.com. There you'll find it's one-stop shop. We can get social through Facebook, Twitter, Google+. Connect with me on my radio show entitled Spiritual Food for Thought Global Radio. There, again, you're going to be empowered with our daily shows of 4 segments of motivation and inspiration so you can go to that next level in your journey of life. Thank you, my sisters.
Thank you,
Sister LaTanya. I just want you all to know, we're in the after show because the show stopped. People who aren't on this call won't be able to hear all of this until they listen to the archive version because the show ended a while ago. We still carrying on. And it's probably Tina's fault. Sister Tina's fault.
I just want everybody to know
when they listen to the replay, it's Sister Tina's fault that you people sitting out there that were listening that weren't on the call query, it's Sister Tina's fault that you got cut off and now you have to listen to the show again, which I'm not mad at you because that helped to increase our numbers.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm good.
Okay, it's that treadmill fault. That's whose fault.
You know what? Leave my treadmill alone.
Oh, my God.
I'm minding my business trying to be motivational, and here you come. You just smack me all down. Just forget it. I'm not even motivated anymore. I'm just going to not look at it.
You better go look at that treadmill.
I'm not going to look at no treadmill.
Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful that laugh just took me over the edge. I'm good. I'm good for the rest of the weekend. No matter what happens with my hair show or whatever, I'm going to think about a treadmill, and I'm going to just bust out. They're going to think I'm bipolar. No, I'm going to be tripping all weekend. I'm going to just say, treadmill, treadmill, treadmill. I'm like, what in the heck is wrong with that?
Next time you're all on my show, I'm not saying one word. I'm not saying anything anymore.
No, that
works. Treadmill? Treadmill?
No, I'm not saying one word. Remind me tomorrow night I'm not saying anything.
Well, you can because I won't be on the call tomorrow night. You know I'm in the preparation of this huge hair show this weekend. So you're safe from me. I can't speak for anybody else. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm going to be running all over Cleveland saying, treadmill, treadmill, treadmill.
See, you know, this is when I'm going to start hanging up on people. I forgot I'm in charge of the take call query. Sisters, good night, sisters.
Beautiful.
I'll see you all on Facebook.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Let's join Sister Marcella at 8 o'clock for our morning prayer.
Yes.
Saturday morning prayer. Sister Marcella, make sure you post it so we'll know where to come in the morning.
Number? Give out the number and the code.
You all can still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was muted. Okay.
No, but you ran on the madness.
Okay. I did post it in our group. I did post it on the show's group page. The number is 626-677-3000. So that's 626-677-3000. And then the access code is a little longer than most, but it is 792-6534, and then you hit the pound sign. So that access code number is 792-6534 and the pound sign.
Wonderful. We'll see you at 8 a.m. then. Eastern. That's Eastern time, right?
Exactly, yes. Eastern time.
Okay. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This has been our after show.
After party. Yay.
Next week, we will not be here on Healing Through Hurt Network. We will be on Sister Tina's network.
Okay.
Yes, we will. I am a superwoman.
So we will be putting out that information. Again, if you're not on Facebook, just text SHOW to 202-618-2556, and I will be sure to get you out the information for next week's show. Sister Tina, really quickly, what is the call-in number for next week's show?
It's area code 712-432-1212. The PIN number is 278-046-406 and the hashtag sign.
What
and
a pound sign
o'clock.
For some people who don't know what hashtags are. Here she go trying to be all up to date and stuff, and she knows some people don't know about the hashtags.
Maria, you know what a hashtag
I'm sorry?
Is. You know.
I'm concerned about my listeners in third world countries. They might not know about the hashtag.
And our speakers for next week will be Lucretia Cornelius, motivator, coach, vision board creator, just an all-around good lady, and Taya Bell Wiley, who is a successful It Works entrepreneur. So we're going to hear from two very, very powerful ladies next Friday. So join us.
And it's at 9 p.m., right?
9 p.m., Friday, March the 28th at 9 o'clock p.m.
All righty.
It's going to be 9 o'clock until, because we can have another after party, okay?
Ladies, have a blessed evening. Thank you so much for being here with us, to all of our listeners, for our second show here on Friday Night Faith and Praise with Tina Hobson and, of course, me, C. Maria Wall, and all of our fellow sisters, Arlene Spann, and Sister Faith A. Believer. Do you want to be Faith A. Believer? Do you want to be your proper name?
It doesn't matter. Faith A. Believer, Latonya Boyd, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's all good.
I like Faith A. Believer myself.
I do too.
Well, ladies, be blessed. And
I'll see
you all on Facebook and in our chat rooms and on your shows. This was another blessed evening. Ladies, have a wonderful evening. I will talk to all of you soon. To all of our guests and listeners, be well, be blessed, and all of us will see you again soon.
Good night, Maria.
Good night.
Good night, good night, Latonya. Good night, Marcella.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night, young boy.
I knew that was coming.
I knew somebody was going to say it. I'm playing the music.
Good night, everybody.
I'm just
going to
play the music. Our beginning and ending music is by Tori Lee. The title is Good Music. And with that said, good night, everyone. Have a blessed remainder of your weekend.
Good night.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. Melody, the arrangement. Makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Fly. I get lost in your words. It feels so good. When I'm hurt, take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music.